As you know, May 1st, or the first Thursday now in May, is the National Day of Prayer. And so we wanted to, this service, as well as tomorrow morning, show our unity with the body of Christ in our nation by having an evening of worship and prayer and supplication to the Lord. The National Day of Prayer is interesting because it actually has a history, if you will. Many of the founders of our nation were Orthodox Christians, Orthodox with a small O, which means they were Bible-believing Christians. Many of them, I'm convinced through my own study, were born-again Christians. And prayer for our nation, days of prayer, days of fasting, have been really there from the founding, not only of our national government, but really from the original first Thanksgiving of the Pilgrims. So we're going way back to the beginning of the 1600s. But in 1983, the Supreme Court affirmed the right of state legislatures to open their sessions with prayer. And of course, that had to be affirmed because the right to do so was being attacked at that time. So the National Day of Prayer is really a vital part of our history and our heritage. And really, since 1775 in the Continental Congress, which opened, by the way, with prayer, we've been praying as a nation ever since. In 1952, there was a joint resolution by Congress signed by President Truman, and it declared an annual National Day of Prayer. Then in 1988, the law was amended and signed by President Reagan, permanently setting the day as the first Thursday of every May. And so each year, the President of the United States signs a proclamation encouraging all Americans to pray on this day. And last year, or a few years ago, I should say, all 50 state governors, plus the governors of several U.S. territories, signed similar proclamations. So I wanted to read the proclamation from our president for the National Day of Prayer this year. A proclamation by the President of the United States of America. America trusts in the abiding power of prayer and asks for the wisdom to discern God's will in times of joy and of trial. As we observe this National Day of Prayer, we recognize our dependence on the Almighty, and we thank Him for the many blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we put our country's future in His hands. From our nation's humble beginnings, prayer has guided our leaders and played a vital role in the life and history of the United States. Americans of many different faiths share the profound conviction that God listens to the voice of His children and pours His grace upon those who seek Him in prayer. By surrendering our lives to our loving Father, we learn to serve His eternal purposes, and we are strengthened, refreshed, and ready for all that may come. On this National Day of Prayer, we ask God's continued blessings on our country. This year's theme, Prayer, America's Strength and Shield, is taken from Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. On this day, we pray for the safety of our brave men and women in uniform, for their families, and for the comfort and recovery of those who have been wounded. The Congress, by Public Law 100-307, as amended, has called on our nation to reaffirm, the role of prayer in our society by recognizing each year a National Day of Prayer. Now, therefore, I, George W. Bush, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim May 1st, 2008, as a National Day of Prayer. I ask the citizens of our nation to give thanks, each according to his or her faith, for the freedoms and blessings we have received, and for God's continued guidance, comfort, and protection. I invite all Americans to join in observing this day with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. George W. Bush. The theme for this year is, as we just saw in the proclamation, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. I'd like us to turn there in our Bibles, if you would, and read not only that verse, but the psalm isn't very, very long, so I'd like to read the psalm together before we go to the Lord in prayer. It's Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verse 1 reads, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." Amen. The Lord is their strength, or some versions read, "The Lord is the strength of his people, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed," or Messiah. "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever." This evening we're going to pray, and you probably have the program that we designed for this evening. And I want you to notice that there's three areas of prayer that we're going to focus on tonight. First, we're going to pray for the church. The church in America, and of course, you can pray for the church worldwide if you feel led to do so. We're going to pray for those in spiritual authority, and we're going to pray for the unity in the ministry of the body of Christ. And the reason that we placed prayer for the church first is because I believe that the reformation that so many Christians desire to see in the culture will only happen when the church gets right with God. Think of it this way. If the culture is dark, then what are we to make of Jesus' statement that the church is the light of the world? Well, that tells me one of two things. Either the church isn't in that culture, or the church is in the culture, but the church is not shining as it ought. Or if the culture is corrupt, and Jesus says you are the salt, which halts corruption, then either the church is not in that culture, or the church isn't doing its job and stopping the corruption. Well, we know that there is a church in our nation. Amen? We know part of it is here this evening. But we know there are thousands, millions of true Christians in our nation who can truly say that God is their Father, that Christ is their Savior, and therefore they are His people. His people. And in Chronicles, when it says that God promises Solomon that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn away from their wicked ways, then he would heal their land. The reason that the land's going to be healed is because if you read the whole context of that verse, the land is under duress, if you will. The land is experiencing pestilence and war and these different problems. The land is having trouble because the people of God have sinned. That's the context. That's why the call to prayer, the call to repentance, is to God's people. So when God's people get right with God, when God's people repent, when God's people pray, humble themselves, seek God, turn, then it's inevitable, and this is what I want you to see. It's not just that God says, oh, they repented, so I'm going to pour blessings over here. No, they've repented, I pour blessings on them, and when the church becomes what the church ought to be, it's light and it's salt. So the land gets healed. Because the church is being the church. When the church is pure, it has a purifying influence on the culture. When the church is walking in light, it exposes darkness in the culture. It's inevitable that it will do so. So the call to prayer must first of all be a call for the church to become the church that Jesus Christ bought by his blood. That we be the people of God that He intended us to be, because as we have all heard before, the church is God's plan A and there is no plan B. So we must pray for those in spiritual authority. We must pray, I believe, for the pulpits of our nation to speak the Word of God in all its purity, in all of its simplicity, in all of its grace, but also in all of its conviction and judgment. The whole counsel of God must be declared. I believe that when the pulpits of America are speaking forth truth and righteousness with conviction, we will see a change in our churches and we'll see a change in our culture. Without the Word of God, what are we standing on? Right? Jesus compared His teaching, His Word, to a rock that we build our house on. And if we're not preaching the Word, studying the Word, if the church is not being rooted, built on the Word, then what is it built on? Jesus said it's built on sand, and when the storm comes, and the storms will come, the building gets washed away. So we need men who will stand up with conviction and speak the Word of God, come hell or high water. And the hell will come. Because when the Word of God is spoken, the enemies of God rise up, the demons of hell rise up, and they want the Word of God shut down. They do not want men and women embracing the Word of God in faith. Because the Word of God is what brings salvation to the lost. The Word of God is what brings edification to the people of God. The Word of God brings faith, it brings comfort, it brings strength, it brings a transformed church. And when the Word of God is taught and preached and believed and the church becomes what it ought to be, then the land is going to be healed. But we need to pray for our families too. Many people have recognized the profound significance of the family for any society. And when the family decays, the culture begins to decay. It is in the home the children learn not only the rudiments of a language, but the rudiments of a culture. It is in the family that we transmit from parents to children everything that we have inherited. Our faith, our convictions, our morals, our values, and this is all passed down. When the family breaks down and children go to bed at night and there's no father in the home or no mother in the home, and there's a dissolution of this family, children then are aimless. They end up wandering. They end up getting into all sorts of sin and trouble. And statistics have demonstrated that children from broken homes have a much higher tendency to get involved in crime and delinquency. So we must pray for our families. When our families are restored, then we'll see the impact of that restoration also on our culture. I think one of the things we have to pray for is we have to pray for parents. You know what we need to pray for parents? We need to pray that parents will be parents. We have men and women walking around that don't know that they have the authority to say no. Right. And so they never say no. And so Johnny gets everything he wants. Susie gets everything she wants. And so we have children growing up who are profoundly, profoundly narcissistic, profoundly self-indulgent. And then finally, when they're teenagers, somebody says no, they say, "Who are you?" And they blow them away. Who are you to thwart my supreme will? Well, their will should have been thwarted when they were little children. And they should have been trained. Because God has called men and women who are called mothers and fathers to exercise godly authority under Him in the home and train children to submit their will not only to their parents, but to the civil government, to church government, and ultimately to God. Amen? Amen. We must pray for parents to take their place and be parents. Well, of course, we must pray for the many marriages that are ending in divorce. It is a plague in our land. We must pray for God to protect the marriages in our churches and in our nation. And thirdly, we must pray for our society. We must pray for governmental leaders. I don't think that we can appreciate, I know I can't, the pressures, the stresses, the temptations that men and women in public office have. It's easy to point out when they fail, But I don't think some of us can understand the profound stress they're under, the weight of responsibility, and the temptation that they feel. So we must pray for their protection. We must pray for those in office who are Christians to be bold in their faith. Amen? We must pray that they will attempt to enact legislation which conforms to God's will, and that they would be brave in doing so. We need to pray for the physical protection of our leaders. Remember, we're living in an age of terrorism, right? We have to pray for the physical protection of our leaders, and we must pray for their spiritual protection. Also, we need to pray for revival and reform. And revival always precedes reform. So we've come full circle. There must be revival before there's going to be reform. I believe the church is called to cultural engagement. I believe the church is called to engage issues, to speak about abortion, pornography, gay rights, and other matters like that. Not only to speak about it, but to act upon biblical convictions in those areas. However, I am not naive enough to think that we're going to transform the culture by a Christian political party. I don't believe that. I believe it will only transform the culture when there is a genuine revival in the midst of God's people, which then spreads out into the culture. When you study church history, and I know some of you are avid readers of history, what you see is there's clearly a pattern. God gives His people a burden for prayer. And then they pray. In other words, they get a holy anxiety. They're discontent about the situation either in their church, in their denomination, in their city, in their culture, and they begin to pray earnestly. And as his people pray in response to prayer, then God sends revival. Revival is sent first to God's church. But the thing about revival is it's a revival. It's not a vival. Okay, so a revival means that the church is dead and needs to be revived, realivened, quickened, if you will. Because I believe that the natural course of things, and it's true of me as well as any of you, is that the natural course is that we put it neutral and we like to cruise, right? We become lethargic might be too strong of a word, but a little casual about our faith. A little casual about seeking God. A little casual about Bible reading. A little casual about the many obligations we have, whether it's as a spouse or a parent, whether it's to witness, whether it's to pray. And we just aren't steadfast. We're not determined. We're not seeking. Seeking. You know, that famous text in Chronicles about that I've already quoted about where God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, if they'll do these things, I'll hear. But you know, that verse is a verse often used for a call to repentance, and that's true. It is a call to repentance. But you know, there's four things mentioned there, and repentance is the last thing, not the first thing. I don't believe we can just say, okay, tonight I'm going to repent. I don't think repentance is that easy. You hearing me? It's not that. Now, we can say the right words. We can say, Lord, this week I kick the dog and smack the cat, forgive me. We can say the right words. But I believe real repentance is a product of first seeking the face of God. Because when you are in God's presence, a God who is a holy, consuming fire, I can guarantee you, you will come to a place of repentance. It's not maybe you will, you will. So it is first humble ourselves, acknowledge our place, acknowledge our dependence. We need God. Amen. Our churches need God. Amen. Our families need God. Amen. Our nation needs God. Amen. Let's recognize this and confess this and humble ourselves before Him. But then let's seek Him. Let's not just seek answers. Let's not just seek the blessings. Let's seek Him. Let's ask Him to come and fill us so that we pray as we ought. Ask Him to come so that our hearts would be warmed and stirred so that we might pray with the appropriate frame of mind. And then as He comes, as we seek Him and we meet with God, there we are changed. And that change is repentance. Then we turn. And when we turn, all the blessings that God pours on us flow out. And then we see God begin to heal the land. Every societal reform in Western civilization has been rooted in a move of God's Spirit in His people. It always has been, and it always will be. So before we go to the Lord, we're going to show a brief video clip, and then we're going to pray together. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the Lord together and pray. I wanted to point out one thing. First, I would like to encourage us as a body to, as the text says, to humble ourselves. That is to say, that I think that the initial call is a call of repentance. For us to acknowledge the ways in which we, both individually and corporately, have failed the Lord our God. But then I'd like you to follow the outline and pray for the church. And after a season of prayer for the church, we'll worship. Then we'll go into a season of prayer for the family. And then we will worship. And then we'll go into a season of prayer for society. And at the end, Lord permitting, we have time, we may call some forward who have any personal needs they would like us to pray over them for. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I beseech you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would forgive us our many sins. We come to you, Lord, acknowledging that in thought, word, and deed, we have sinned against you, sinned against your many mercies. The Lord, many of us have just become comfortable, lazy, self-indulgent. Lord, that some of us have neglected your word. Some of us have not truly sought your face, but become mere formalists in our relationship with you. We ask that you would forgive us of that. Forgive us, Lord, for both known sins and unknown sins. Cleanse us from secret sins, Lord, that sin might not have dominion over us. And as we pray tonight, God, have mercy on your church. Fill this place with your Spirit. And we ask, dear Lord, that we would pray according to the mind of God, for Jesus' glory. Amen. Thank you.
your church because it's your church, Lord, because we have given our hearts to you. We acknowledge you as God. That we acknowledge that we are not. Father, I would like to see your Spirit spread throughout this country and even beyond its borders too, of course, but Lord, into the hearts and the minds of a call for action, even just to pray, if not just to speak up. I pray, Lord, that you start in my house. And God, I desire the blessings that closeness with your Spirit will bring into the lives of my children and my marriage, Father. I pray, Lord, very strongly that the leaders you have risen up to guide your church, to mark the path towards knowledge and strong faith in you, Lord, that you would cause them to stop and to change and to humble themselves, Lord. I don't want to point fingers, Lord. I just know that we seem to be going in a lot of different directions that don't all seem to lead to you. Father, for this area, area in Middle America here in St. Louis, in our local area and churches, Father, I also pray that the pastors would be protected, Father, that their hearts be guided by the Spirit, that their steps would be sure, and that you would bring to nothing the wiles of the evil one, Lord. We have many things to deal with, Father. Seems like things go too fast, but it hasn't caught you by surprise. So my heart, my prayer, Lord, is that you would still the hearts of your people long enough to listen to you. Help us, Lord, to live out our lives in a true and strong faith of what your Son did for us. For without that, we have nothing. And through his name, I pray. Thank you, Father.
Particular day, Lord, because I thought I had more important things to do. Lord, help me to have never begin my day or to end my day, Lord, without feeding from your word. Just as I never forget to have a meal in the morning or in the afternoon, on the evening, Lord. Help me live every day off your word. And in fellowship with you. Lord, today as I was at Walmart, I was leaving the store, Lord, my eyes fell upon a young couple. And they looked over at me and they smiled. And it was the smile of the peace that your Holy Spirit brings, Lord. Somehow, they looked at me and I looked at them and I could tell that they were Christians, Lord. And I began to think, why that particular couple, Lord? Why are they so different from so many of the couples that I see in the stores and the malls and everywhere I go? There are hundreds, thousands, millions of unwed mothers, absent fathers. Lord, I just my wife and I's burden for this generation that is coming, that is already here, that are raising their own generation without intact families, without knowing you, Lord. Pray as a church that we would be able to reach out to these people and they would be receptive to the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, Lord. And the prayers that we lift up in your name for those young families, those young couples, those young single mothers, Lord, we pray that they will be drawn to your light. And in the churches, in the counties, as well as in the cities, Lord, we pray that all churches would not be stuck in a culture of hate, in a culture of indoctrinating their members in unforgiveness, Lord. Lord, we pray that they will turn from that mindset. Lord, we pray that they will repent and change the hearts of their members toward you and toward all mankind, Lord. That we will look at each other as we walk through the malls and through our work, Lord, as you have intended. And to look at each other and know that we are all here for you, Lord. To work as one according to your purposes, Lord. And that you are going to win in our country, in our families, in our churches, in your creation, Lord. Lord, if we see a wrong that someone is doing that we may not even know, Lord, if we see or feel your Holy Spirit working in our lives, prompting us to say something, Lord, help us not bury that. Help us not quench your Holy Spirit, but be obedient to your promptings, Lord, so that we can do what you want us to do and do your work in your kingdom, Lord, and reach others so that we may be unified.
From heaven even now, hear from heaven even now, Lord, you have told us.
I ask the church just to continue to lift your prayers up to the Lord, please.
Preachers who preach that everything is okay, that God is love, He's forgiving, that He wouldn't do anything that would not allow us to be with Him in heaven. Lord, that all is right with the world. But God, we know You're a righteous God. Lord, I just ask that there would be unity in the church, that those that are preaching the lies of I'm okay, you're okay, it's okay if you're a homosexual, it's okay if you live outside of marriage and unwedlock, Lord, it's okay if you don't do the things that we know is in your word, God. There's too much of that goes on, Lord, and I ask now that you would raise up leaders in the churches, that they would unify and know that your word is a condemning word, Lord, that we are all sinful. There's not one, Lord, and that we have to come to that point of repentance, Lord, and know that you are forgiving and you are loving and you want us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Lord, I ask forgiveness of all the sin in my life, Lord. In today's society, it's become so easy to be distracted, to do the things that really have no value. Have no value. And it's easy because everybody's doing it. Lord, the only value comes from allowing you to work in our lives. Lord, help us to be submissive. Lord, help us to give up ourselves to you.
Yes.
Lord, help us to know that there's so much need in this world. There's so many things going on. We can't shut our eyes to the things in this world that are going on and knowing that you're the light, you're the salt,
and that you want to shine through us, and mm-hmm. and all you want is for us to turn to you, mm-hmm. to have a relationship with you, mm-hmm. to know more about you each day. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing and revealing in my life. But Lord, there's so many things that I know I have to create. I lay them to you, Lord. Lord, I just ask now that, again, the unity of the churches would be one that will teach the truth, yes. your word, your whole truth, yes. not just what people want to hear, yes. not what makes people want to show up mm-hmm. on Sundays and feel like that they've done what it is that they felt like they should do to deserve being in heaven. Lord, there's nothing we can do. You've done it all. You sent your son to the cross. Mm-hmm. Lord, we ask forgiveness for Adam's sin. Lord, we ask forgiveness for our sin. We are sinners. Lord, unify this church. Mm-hmm. The church, not here, only here, but throughout the world, to know that there is only one God, one true God. And Lord, we are sinners. And you want to reconcile yourself to us, but we have to submit. We have to lay down all that is wrong in our lives. We have to allow you to work through us. Lord, just forgive me. And I am thankful. I'm so thankful for all that you've done. I thank you for saving me. But Lord, just take it further. Help me to be the person that you would have me to be. Lord, there's so much more that I know that you would have me to be. Help me to be submissive, Lord. Help mm-hmm. us all to be submissive. Mm-hmm. It's in your son's name we pray.
Church in the persecuted countries, countries like China, Sudan, places like that, Muslim countries. And Father, the things that we take for granted are things that can cost them imprisonment, dismemberment, or even their own lives. And Father, I just pray for them. I pray for courage for them. I pray for safety for them. And Father, I pray that the more the governments crack down on the church, Father, the more it will grow and the more bold people will be. Lord, I pray for the church in the United States, and Lord, we have it so easy here, and God, I just pray that you would just embolden the believers of this country, Father. Mm-hmm. I think we have it easy because, Father, we just kind of sit back and let things happen. Father, I pray that the church would be emboldened. Father, first of all, I pray for pastors. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray you open their spiritual eyes. I pray for those who don't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, to come to know you. Mm-hmm. And Father, I pray they start preaching the Word of God. And yes. Father, they go to the Word, not have stories that tickle ears or jokes or entertainment, but Father, they'll preach the true Word of God.
Yes.
And God, I pray that this Word just put the church under conviction, the people who come to church every week, Father. And these people realize that they've been playing games. Mm-hmm. And Father, we need to get real. We need to get real and become salt in this country. And Father, I pray the church will rise up and be salt. Father, mm-hmm. we begin to share the good news with other people. Mm-hmm. And Father, I agree the way to change this country is not through a political party, but Father, through changed hearts. Mm-hmm. And God, just cry out for churches, for pastors who will stand up and who will preach the true Word of God. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for our pastor. I just lift up David Vaughn to you. I pray for his prayer time, his Bible study time, sermon preparation time. God, I just pray you just, Lord, put this man square unto you, Father. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray that every week he comes to you, Father, you just pour out to him more than he can share with us. Mm-hmm. God, I just hold him up to you. I pray for him, pray for his family, I pray mm-hmm. for protection for them. Mm-hmm. You just watch over them. Father, I pray for this church, you watch over this church. Mm-hmm. And Father, I just pray that you put your angels about us. And mm-hmm. Father, I pray that this church will not just be concerned about us, but Father, we'll be concerned about the community around us. And Father, from this spot, we look to the north, the south, the east and west of O'Fallon and St. Peter's and Lake St. Louis and Wentzville and all around us and see those who need to know you as Lord and Savior, not to get them to join this church, but Father, to get them to join the kingdom of God. Amen. In your name we pray.
Amen. Father, I also pray for the church here in America. We ask that you would raise up men, Lord, to govern your church, who are men who have supreme love for you, men who are submitted to your word. We pray for the pulpits of America, Lord, to just pour forth righteousness. Mm-hmm. We pray, God, for you to act. We ask, Lord, that you would empower your servants, anoint your servants. Mm-hmm. God, that you would use them to speak the true word, your living word, your life-giving word, your life-changing word. We ask, God, that you would bring unity to your body, not just within local congregations, but between congregations. We pray that the people of God would truly love one another. We ask you to forgive your church the many sins, Lord, of gossip and slander and division and bitterness and hatred and different things, God, that you see because you are omniscient. Forgive these sins, Lord, and cleanse them. Remind us, God, just how much you've forgiven us so that we might walk in forgiveness toward one another. Mm-hmm.
Oh God, we just acknowledge your holiness. You are so holy and you are altogether righteous. There is not one like you. Mm-hmm. You are our ultimate authority. And you deserve our total allegiance. Our total affection and loyalty. God, had it not been for your loving kindness, your goodness and mercy and grace, we would be undone. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers all our sins. But we need constant covering. For we are stubborn, stiff-necked people. And we just come before you and we appeal to you, Lord, to pour out your spirit on your church. Mm-hmm. You would cover her sins, my sins, our sins, again, and that you would be good and kind and gracious and grant us your spirit, that we would experience revival in the truest sense. Mm-hmm. not just in mere words, God, but internally in the depth of our souls, and just the callousness and the darkness that is in there, God, you would bring light and break up that fallow ground and soften the soil of our heart. Enlarge our heart, God, and revive us. Mm-hmm. For your name's sake, for the sake of Jesus, for your kingdom. Mm-hmm. God, I just lift up your bride to you and we look to you to make us spotless and blameless. Mm-hmm. We look to you to just create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. And Just make us, Lord, into that people that would please you and would walk in a manner worthy of you, that would be useful and fit for your service. And God, I thank you for the institution of the church. And I just ask for her protection. I ask, God, that you would bind back the enemy and just this continual onslaught to bring down your men. The shepherds that you have placed in position of spiritual authority, I pray, God, that you would protect them from the evil one. His constant attack and wanting them to compromise. And God, I pray for strength for them. I pray, Lord, just for willingness of your people to be able to just lift them up in prayer and help hold up their arms, God, and just be able to be the submissive people that you would have us be. God, I also just pray for just the churches here, the local individual churches here in this community. And God, I ask, Lord, that somehow you would repair the breaches and help us to stand together. And God, that there would not be quarrels among us or competitive spirits, God, but we would have a unified purpose to see the lost and to see just a hurting world, God, that we would not be sidetracked by our infighting, but we would band together. Mm-hmm. That we would seek and save the lost, God, that you would use us to do that. Mm-hmm. So, God, I just, the churches in this area, Lord, I just pray that you would bring the pastors together and she would do that, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Make a stand in our families, at our work, in our community, in our church, to catch a vision, Lord. Your word says, without a vision, the people perish, Father. And I pray for our leaders that they would catch a vision that you have for this nation and our people, for our fathers, that you would have for our families. For leaders in the church, what you would have for our churches and the ministries that we should be performing and the things that we need to be doing and the commitment that it takes. Father, I pray for courage and strength and faith for all our men. To be willing to pay the price, to sacrifice, to make a stand, to speak the truth, to say no, to say yes to you. To lead our wives and lead our children, lead our communities, our church, our government, our communities, to be that light. And Father, I just pray for each one of the men in our church that whatever circumstances, whatever you need to do, Lord, I call on your name, Lord, to just do that, to bring us to a point to come to our knees and surrender to you, to be bold, to be courageous, to make a difference. And Father, I also want to lift up our young men, our teens and our youth. Father, I pray against this whole culture of entertainment and recreation and sports and relaxation that permeates everything that we do. It is so much in our daily lives that it has become totally out of balance and a preoccupation that is hindering our walk with you. Father, give us a heart of discipline, of self-control, a sound mind, hard work, commitment, balance, steadfastness. To spend time in your word and time with you. To really have a sacrifice of praise. To really to pick up our cross daily to follow you. Lord, without sacrifice, we cannot progress. Without commitment, we cannot go forward. Without righteousness and holiness, we cannot do your work or your will. Father, help us understand what it takes, the commitment that it takes from each one of our hearts to do this, to honor you, to be a light, to be strong, to be bold and courageous, to have faith and not to fear. Father, I lift us, all of us, up in this, that you would glorify us, and that your name and you, who you are, would be glorified on that last day. I ask in your name.
That we would become wise in sharing our faith with others. And I just pray that our teens would be bold in proclaiming your word. And I just thank you for my family and all that they are to me. And thank you for this church. And thank you for your word, and I pray that you again give our rulers wisdom in their decisions for our country, and help our church to be bold in proclaiming your word. In your name we pray.
Father, forgive us, for we have many sins, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would bring us to a place where we will seek you and your kingdom above all things instead of selfish ambition, that you would bring us to a place of humility no matter what it takes instead of pride, that you would bring us to a place of complete trust and believing that you are who you say you are instead of unbelief, Lord. Give us a spirit of liberty and grace instead of controlling spirits. Give us passion and obedience and diligence instead of apathy and lukewarmness. Give us obedience instead of disobedience. Give us hearts to seek you instead of ignoring you. Lord, help us to believe and meditate on what is good and right instead of gossiping and slandering. Lord, help us see your grace so we can give grace instead of be bitter and unforgiving. Lord, untangle the tangles of the messes we've made. Lord, as we seek you earnestly and genuinely and pray without ceasing, God, we ask you to help us.
Come to you now. We want to pray for the family in our nation, the families of this church. We thank you, God, for you instituting the ordinance of marriage. We thank you that it's sacred. We thank you. The children are a blessing from you, and the fruit of the womb is your reward. And we pray, God, that once again, as a society, we would honor your institution of marriage. That we would again value children. We pray, God, that we would stop killing our children in the womb. We ask, God, that we would cherish them and value them and receive them, welcome them. We ask, God, for your church to love children. Pray for your people, Lord, to rejoice in the fruit of the womb. God, we pray that you would grant fathers much wisdom in guiding their families and wives much grace to be supportive and submissive helpers to their husbands. We pray, God, that others would see in our marriages Jesus and his bride.
That you would give us the boldness to lead our families, and that you would couple that with humility, Lord. And I pray that we'd be men enough to admit our faults to our family and to confess our sin to them when we've messed up in front of them, Lord, when we've fallen short. And I pray, God, that you would impress it upon us that our kids are going to be exactly like us. They're going to follow the example that they see, Lord. And I pray that we would take that as a challenge, as an honor, and as a giant responsibility to be the men that you've called us to be. And that we would lovingly nurture our wife and lovingly nurture our children. And we would realize that's the call that you've put upon us, regardless of where we're at, regardless of our lot in life. I pray for the believing men of this nation, Lord, that they would rise up, that they would be men of their word, they would put aside all filth that they're looking at, they'd make a covenant with their eyes that they would not look upon a maid. I pray they would have a passion for you. They'd be more passionate about you than about their football games or baseball games or hockey games. God, we'd be as excited about you as we are as those things. And I pray our children would see in clear and distinct ways our love for you. They'd see us serving you wholeheartedly. And that our God would be their God. I pray we would make whatever sacrifice is necessary. We'd set aside all selfishness. When we come home from work each night, we realize that our second job and most important job is just beginning. And that we would realize that we cannot do any of this apart from you, Lord. And we need your strength, we need your mercy, we need your grace, we need to be seeking you daily. And I pray you'd fill us even now, God. Each of the men here, each of the heads of households, you'd give us a vision for our family. Where you want us in 1 year, where you want us in 5 years, where you want us in 10 years, where you want us in 20 years. And then, God, I pray that we would do and take the steps necessary to fulfill that vision. I pray this in your name.
that you have chosen us through your Spirit, and that we received that call and accepted you, Lord. And Lord, but I do know that it is a gift, and I do know that it is a blessing, and I do know that you have blessed us more richly than any. And Lord, I lift that up to you, and I don't take it lightly. Lord, I thank you for even the whole institution of the family, that we have it, that you've given it to us, that we can use it, that it does take many, 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 many years, 20 years, to help children be raised the way you would want them, that we've got that support system, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for the blessing of a wonderful wife, the blessing of having a mate, the blessing of the whole system you set up that obviously we probably wouldn't, since you had to actually put it into place, Lord. I praise you for the whole system that you've put in there, and that it does work, and that you are a blessing to us and a good leader and a great father for us, and you won't let us down, Lord. I appreciate that, and I just need it. And I'm sure all the fathers here along with me just thank you and tell you that, you know, we need you, and I know it, even for, I'm sure you, God, it's sad to look down here and to see a lot of us just walking around as if we don't need you. But we do need you. And it's sad. Lord, I do thank you for everything you do that we don't see. I thank you for all the times that things could have gone wrong and could have been hurt. We could have lost a child, could have lost our lives, could have lost anything, that you've felt pity and mercy on us and saved us one more time. Lord, I lift you up, and I see that things like that happen, and I appreciate you being a father to us. Lord, also, I want to lift up all these kids. I want to lift up their futures. I want to lift up their... I just want to petition you. This is the part where I ask for stuff, Lord. And you know that we do a lot of asking. But there is a huge pressure that we feel on us as parents, that if there's just any way that we can guarantee that our children will grow up to follow you and will take on your value system, take on the things that you've been trying to press into us as parents, and just follow that, that Lord, that would just be great. That would be the ultimate. So, Lord, I do ask for that for each of us here. I ask that for every child, not only here in this building, but in the second service on Sundays, and in the neighborhood surrounding this church, in the city that this church sits in, a state, and a country, in our world. Lord, there are so many families and so many little kids and so many just... that need you, that need everything that you've offered, not just eternal life, Lord, not just the good deal that we get in the end, but Lord, just the day by day, how to keep a child from danger, how to keep, Lord, just all the things that you've helped us do, keep them out of trouble, the wrong places, just make life better. You just have blessed us with all the things that seemingly are just the way to go. Lord, I do ask that that we also feel your yoke, that there is an expectation that you have, and I first off ask for your forgiveness that we don't do more. Lord, my family in particular, that we just don't do more. We don't seek out, you know, ways every day to fulfill what you've asked us to do. We don't hear you every time you call. We don't come every time you call. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for that. And I ask for, I suppose I stand in behalf of all the fathers here and their families and say that they've
probably not heard your call when they should have too, and we ask for forgiveness for you for that. Lord, we do ask for your continued spirit of the same spirit that came into us and broke our hearts and said, basically, hey, you know, you're a sinner. You need Christ. Lord, I pray that spirit would also, your Holy Spirit would be sent on a daily, on an hourly basis to us to plead your desires for us and continue to crack, like a jackhammer, crack the concrete that is so hard to get through to us. And Lord, we know that your Spirit is the only thing that can change us, so that one, we can accept you, and two, that we would do the things that you'd like us to do. Lord, I just praise you. I praise you for prayer on this day of prayer. I do lift up our country as a whole, that's probably the one thing that we've left. Lord, we need your Spirit. We need your Spirit more than ever we need an extra dose. Lord, we need a super powerful version of your Spirit to just crack the big casing of a great lifestyle, the helmet of living in a prosperous country that, I don't know, Lord, just, I don't know why things are the way they are. But I ask that you would forgive us for it. I ask that you would continue to knock at our door. Even though we ignore you, even though we don't answer the door. But I do thank you for the opportunity when we do. I thank you for the feeling of serving you. I thank you for the joy of doing those things that you apparently can't get anybody else to do. And so here we are. And we are your church. And we want to be called your church. We want your label upon us. And we want that label to be passed on to our children. We want it to be passed on to their children's children and so on and so on, Lord. That is what we want. I do thank you for this. Go full circle, Lord, back to where we are. It's just, I thank you for putting us here. Thank you for putting us in our situation. Thank you for putting us in a situation where we really do not have a spiritual want, because you have provided all we need to do is use it. And thank you, Lord, for the Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In your Holy Son's name I pray.
Father, we pray now for our nation. Lord, we know that if your church turns and families are restored, then we'll see the results in our country. We would lift up now our governmental leaders to you. God, as I shared earlier, we don't understand just the weight they carry, the temptations they face. But God, we do pray that you would protect them from the evil one. We ask that they would walk in your ways, that they would legislate according to your will, and the Lord, that they would stand for righteousness in our land.
Lord, I thank you for the godly men and women that you've given us in political office. Thank you for Representative Cynthia Davis.
Amen.
For Senator John Loudon, Representative Todd Akin, Jim Talent, and other people, God. And I pray that you would strengthen them, strengthen their backs for the burdens they carry. And I pray, Lord, that they would continue to take the high path. They continue to take the road that you've called them to, the narrow path. Mm-hmm. And that they would be men and women of integrity in the positions you've placed them with, God. And I pray you'd give them favor among their peers, and that they'd be women and men of influence. I pray your spirit would rest upon them, God. You would open up doors that only you can open up for them, God. We thank you that they strive so hard to spread your influence and your light into the area of politics. We pray that they would continue to do that, that we would stand with them, Lord. We would help them out on their campaigns. We would help them out prayerfully, God. We would help them out by whatever they need us to do, Lord. That they would continue to stand, God. And I pray for the men in this room and the women in this room, Lord, that we would heed your call if you've called us into this area. Whatever you've called us to do, Lord, whatever you want us to get involved, that we would realize that this whole earth is yours. That's and that right. You've given us a mandate to be salt and light. We need to preserve this nation from where it's headed, Lord. We need to be light. And I pray that we would do that in the area of politics, God. We would shine your light in this area. We would support men and women called to that. And we thank you for the godly examples you've given us in the Bible, men like Daniel, men like Joseph, women like Deborah, that went against wicked men and stood up for what was right. And they paid a price, God. And I pray that we would be men and women that are willing to pay that price. Have mercy on our land, God.
Yes.
Have mercy.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, Lord.
Legislators really originally wrote the laws, Lord, that they would start interpreting them and passing judgment according to your word and according to your will, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that as your church, each and every one of us individuals that make up your church, Lord, that we would take a holy, godly, righteous stand, that we would not be complacent in the things that we do and the things that we put up with, that we would stand up for you, for your will, and for the laws and the land that you founded for us, Lord, that you created this land, this United States of America. And it was founded on your principles, Lord God, and I just pray that we would, as Christians, believing Christians, that we would take a stand, a righteous stand, and stand up for the things that are right. And we would be submissive to your will, but we wouldn't be submissive to the wrong that's going on in this country with the abortions and the embryonic stem cell research. Lord, that we would stand up and let your word be known through us, that we would support our leaders, that we wouldn't be just in the background accepting it, that we would stand up and take your will and your word and proclaim it. We just ask this in your holy name, Jesus.
Lord, as we look on the lamp, our political landscape and our cultural landscape, we could be overwhelmed. And as David said, Lord, that tears would run down his face when he observed the men did not obey your law, how he was grieved with the wicked, and so we are grieved by the things that we see in our society. So we ask God that first that you would revive your church so that we would be salt and light. Lord, first us, then them. First your church, then the culture. Revival, then reform. God, revive your church, including this church, and we ask that you would reform our communities, our families, our culture. And Lord, we pray this, not for ourselves, but Father, as Mike prayed, that we would do so because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Lord, you are King of the entire earth. You're the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the ruler of all rulers. And so you have a right to our obedience in every area of life. And Lord, you have a right for every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're Lord of politics. You're Lord of education. You are Lord of government. You are Lord of science. You are Lord of every area of life. You are the Lord, the one and only God. And so we ask that your lordship would be acknowledged in every area of our society. That is to say, God, that you would be glorified. That is our prayer this evening. In Jesus' name. Go on.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see.